Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, your host. My guest today is Rosemary Armeo, and she's here to talk about the press and Donald Trump. Rosemary, are you there?
I am here. How are you, Cynthia?
Good. So, you teach journalism. So what was your reaction throughout the campaign on how the press covered Donald Trump?
I think the press gets the very best mixed reviews. They have a lot to answer for, and we're going to be working on how we cover this president over the next 4 years when he's actually in office. Much too much coverage at first. Of his rallies on cable television. You got gavel-to-gavel coverage of his rallies with no intervention at all by the commentators. He was not taken seriously for far too long, too long after he actually had nailed down the nomination for the Republican candidate. And then after that, the press was held enslaved to a large extent by his Twitter, which is not something that people read so much as readers, you know, regular citizens, so much as journalists. And his every tweet seemed to turn into a headline that still seems to be going on today. So there's a lot wrong. On the other hand, especially late in the season, you saw some excellent investigative reporting being done by journalists looking into his tax situation, his business empire's connections to the mob, his lack of experience, his stiffing of contractors who work for him. So they redeemed themselves at that point. I'm not sure that who was listening or what effect it had. So there you go. That's the pros and the cons. I'd rate them if I were grading them, get in the D's.
Now, when he first declared his candidacy, the press was, you know, covering no matter what he said, no matter what he did. Do you think the press is responsible because they wanted better ratings?
There's no question that Donald Trump has meant money, profit to publications. I think that's been rather famously said by a CNN executive that Donald Trump may be bad for the country, but he's sure good for CNN. You put a Donald Trump story on and you're going to get more clicks. People are going to come and read your story. That's eyes on your material, and that definitely means money for you. There's been some really amazing studies of the amount of press that all the candidates got. And Donald Trump got hundreds of millions of dollars worth of free advertising. He didn't have to pay for it. And he was on television. He was in the media. He dwarfed his coverage, dwarfed everyone. So certainly Hillary Clinton's, but way more so the other Republican candidates than Bernie Sanders. So the press has been fascinated with him, and they have been rewarded for their fascination with increased audiences and profit. You take a look at even at someone like, I'm sorry, I was going to say, you should take a look even just at Megyn Kelly. At Fox Television, and she was not one of his favorites. He went after her. She came out with a book. She's going to make tons of money on that book, which is why will it sell? Because Donald Trump's animosity towards her is a highlight of the book.
So if he was so clever at creating his own news, where they would cover him time after time after time, why do you think the other candidates didn't pick up on it and do the same thing?
I think a whole lot of it is Donald Trump. He is a charismatic personality. He is interesting to readers and viewers in a way that, say, a Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton can never be. He is perfectly willing to get up and say outrageous things, to do stuff that political reporters have never seen before. He broke every single rule of politics. What other person is there who even came close to that? So that's what they did wrong. And what they did instead was they played it way super safe, like Hillary Clinton. Clinton picked Tim Kaine, for example, as her running mate. Balanced the ticket, man and woman, nice, real nice guy. I like him. But what if she'd done something crazy, like a Trump would have done? Picked Elizabeth Warren and had a two-woman ticket, or Cory Booker and had a minority and woman ticket. That might have ignited the base. She didn't take any chances, though, because he was so bad, she didn't think she had to. That was a mistake. And the Republicans waited way too long to say anything bad about him. They acted as if he were just another opponent because they didn't take him seriously. When they finally realized how weak he was, they come out all toxic and snarling and insulting him, and they didn't do the insulting as well as Donald Trump did. He had that knack. He is a branding and marketing genius, and so you had a little Marco and low-energy Jeb, and his opponents couldn't come back with anything as clever as that.
Like I said, you know, at the very beginning, if the press had kind of not paid that much attention to Donald Trump at the beginning, do you think he would have gone away, or do you think he would have been persistent in his desire to win the presidency?
I think he would have been persistent. This is a man who loves competition, and he knows how to play the media. And what Donald Trump did was to bypass all the usual routes to success on the campaign trail. He ignored the establishment Republicans. He ignored the press, and he used social media and his rallies, which we, and oddly, Cynthia, at the same time that cable TV is running them from beginning to end, most of the rest of us in the present undervalued them. We didn't see them as important. And I know I'm guilty of this. I would say that, Bernie Sanders, yeah, he has great rallies, but his people don't vote, and that'll be what happens with Trump. But that was a mistake, and you're seeing that now. He knew that from the beginning because he is a marketing genius. And he now, today, mm-hmm. as president-elect, is out doing a rally in Ohio in a campaigning state. He doesn't have to do that. He's doing that to keep his base interested and stirred up. So, yeah, I think he still would have done well. He didn't need the press. That's what he showed. He didn't need the head of the Republican National Committee to like him. He didn't need any politicians or usual newspapers or other trade unions or anything to endorse him. All he needed was his own celebrity.
Now, he, throughout the campaign and even now during the transition, he has been tweeting a lot. Do you think Twitter is going to take over as the new big thing in getting your message out?
It'll be part of a whole new big thing. It's social media in general. You have to have Facebook and Instagram and whatever comes out next year. That'll be, you know, bigger than all of this, and we don't know what it is yet. The real problem, though, I think, Cynthia, and this is not original to my thinking, Emily Thorson, who is a political scientist at Boston College, talked about this recently, and I think she's right. Here's what happens. He goes out on Twitter every day, and it's outrageous, it's outlandish. We've never seen a guy who wants to be in a serious job acting like this before. And the press goes crazy, and the press every day has to write a political story. And if you're doing politics, you're boring things all the time about policy and statistics and economic news. And here was Trump supplying you every day with an outrageous story that was easy to write, simple to understand. And so it's almost as if the newspaper ceded the headlines to Donald Trump in his tweets. And then, of course, you have headlines and cable news takes over, and anything he wrote about in his tweets became major news, not just something, to appear for a brief time on social media and then disappear. So I think that was
and
we're still doing it. We're still doing it. He recently tweeted that.
As a journalism professor, did you use or did you, in your classes, did you talk about what Donald Trump was doing and what was the reaction of your students?
Well, yeah, the whole election has been extremely filled with the teachable moments, and we have talked about them in classes. Students were interested in the politics and in the way the media was used and did their job in covering the election. So everything about the election we talked, yes. I'll just sum it up that way.
Now, do you think the 2016 election has changed journalism and politics?
Yeah, I do. I think that again, the rules all changed, and how politics go on from here will be really interesting. Trump continues to change the rules of political coverage even now. Do we write everything he says? Do we ignore him? Will there be a press pool that follows the president 24/7 as there has been for nearly every other modern president? Or will Trump change that? Is everything he says news, or do we have to look at him in a different way? Margaret Sullivan, who writes on media for the Washington Post, talks about how the press now needs to scrutinize him. We need to hold him to a higher account. We need to say that he's putting out information that has no basis, no evidence. We have to, in effect, call him a liar. We've never done that to a president before. He got away with too much because the rules are set up for people who are conventional. He is not conventional. The threat when you do that, when you call him a liar or scrutinize him, is that people who support Donald Trump say the press is against him and it's biased.
Now, you said, you know, there'll be more scrutiny now. And, you know, he surprised the press by acting different about, you know, conducting himself different. Will there be more scrutiny? You said there'll be more scrutiny as time goes on. If that's the case, why didn't they do this before? Was it, again, was it the ratings that they wanted rather than to really, you know, hone in on what he was saying and how it would affect everybody?
Yeah, well, first of all, I disagree with your idea that he ever changed. I think the Trump we have right now as president-elect is the same sort of person. Certainly he acts the same as he did when he first began. So that's number one. And number two, as I think that the press didn't take him seriously. To invest in investigative reporting and dig into his background and his business dealings and all of his everything about him takes a ton of effort and work. And you're not going to put those resources in for someone who doesn't have a chance to win. When it was clear that he was going to win, you did see the big places, especially shift into gear and start actually reporting on Newsweek, USA Today, Philadelphia Inquirer. There were wonderful work was done. And I don't think that's going to end now. There's a lot at stake now, and I think you're going to see the press continue to scrutinize. You're not going to have quite the free ride, I hope, that he did when he first started running. On the other hand, the media is extremely weak right now. Money is difficult. Layoffs are rampant in the business. There's not a number. There's not as many great investigative reporters, editors, and outlets for them that there used to be. So that works to Trump's benefit. He's also been talking about changing libel laws and going after the press in other ways. He has a lot of power as president to stop and hinder the press.
Mm-hmm. So when he first arrived on the scene, and both you and I know that he toyed with the possibility of running for governor in 2014, but when he jumped into the presidential race and, you know, he started to say things and, you know, the press would cover it. So at that point, do you think he understood how the press was going to react to what he said, and that's why he said the things he did?
Yes. And you know what my proof of that is, Cynthia? It's when he said at one point, you know, it's amazing. I could go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't go down in the polls. And he was right. He began to realize, I see, that the more outrageous he was, he called Mexicans rapists and John McCain was not a hero and grabbed women by the you-know-what. Every time one of those things happened and conventional people were writing him off, he would go to rallies and people would cheer him on. And he knew he had it. There were also, you know, so I think he ramped it up. He became even, could he be any more outrageous? He's right. What more could he do that would make people change their minds about him? If he shot somebody out on, I guess it would be who he shot. Maybe that would make the difference. I'm not sure.
Now, you know, I've had this conversation a number of times with Bob Port on how the newspapers is shrinking, is diminishing in their, in their ability to get the message out. So, therefore, do you think that ultimately social media is going to take over as the main source of information?
You mean that people will, they already are, aren't they? Are they already turning to social media to get their news more than the old legacy press? Yeah, I would go out on a limb. I think newspapers are, at least in paper form, are dying. I think that there's still a need for it. I just don't see a form for it at the present. There's not an economic model. So more and more people are indeed turning to social media. And this has given way, of course, in some quarters to fake news, to manipulation of news. What people see can be changed by the algorithms set up by computer companies. Yeah, there's a lot to figure out.
So as he was conducting his campaign, and you were listening to it, from the standpoint of being a professor, did you say, oh, my God, look what he's getting away with? Did that ever cross your mind?
Oh, endlessly. As I keep saying, how could he get away with this? And many of the things that happened to him singly could have stopped and did stop previous candidates. His personal life, being thrice married, for example. Look at Rockefeller, Governor Rockefeller in New York State. He was stopped with one divorce, right? His outrageous comments on Howard Stern and his other appearances on entertainment television, that would have stopped him. The grab women by the you-know-what comment on the bus would have ended. I remember the weekend that came out. And the TV stations, cable television, stayed on the air longer than usual because they were waiting at any minute for his resignation, his leaving the race, to be announced. Because for anybody else, that would have happened. He has tapped into a spirit of frustration in this country that we hate the system. We don't care that he's a bigot. We don't care that he's kind of nuts. We don't care that he looks like a fool. We just want someone who's going to shake up the system. And so the worse he got, the more his supporters stood behind him.
Now, he beat out like 16 other candidates to win the nomination. And you know, he was like a steamroller. He kept going and going, and the candidates kept dropping out. Do you think there was a level of frustration amongst the other Republican candidates to not get their message out?
Yeah. Well, I think we know that there is. I mean, Marco Rubio is a very successful and promising politician. He could not be heard. Jeb Bush, who had tons of money, more than anybody else at the start of the race, and his name had been groomed for the job. He never caught on fire. Ted Cruz, widely disliked, and you could just see them scrambling all the time to figure out how to get their message out, and they never did. Ted Cruz even went so far as to diss Trump at the convention, and then to finally, I guess, renege on all of that. Now he's, can I say, sucking on the radio? He's sucking up to the president-elect, as is Mitt Romney, who is also a big foe. Republicans were completely caught up, and I guess you have to say Democrats were too, to a certain extent. We're caught up in this fervor for something completely new and different. We don't want it to be like anything we've ever seen before. And in that, Trump succeeded.
Now, you know, I watch a lot of cable news. And if I put on Fox, you know, all of Fox's stories and all of the people on Fox were pro-Trump. If you put on MSNBC, 90% of the journalists on MSNBC were anti-Trump. And each station was more or less singing to the choir. Did you feel that either Trump, Fox, or MSNBC did a service to this 2016 election?
The return to the partisan press that we have. I have to say that and Kelly and Chris Wallace from Fox did fabulously in many interviews. They did their job. Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes on MSNBC did a fabulous job. Some of the others, yes, I would say were just terribly divisive and vitriolic. I hated the CNN panels where they would put, you know, three screaming Trump supporters against three rabid Clinton supporters and just let them have at it. It was just ugly discourse, no question about it. But, you know, some of this has to be put on the readers and listeners too, right? I mean, they have to do some looking and thinking on their own. It isn't all up to the media to present it to them. And quite a bit was shown on all the media on problems, on flaws in both those candidates. Did they pick up on that? Well, the polls show that, you know, people didn't really like either one of the candidates all that much. So what do you say then? Did we sow disinterest and hatred towards frustration with the entire political system? I think that's a possibility. We have a population that's undereducated about civics, and then we make you hate it. We turn it into a circus on the media. That's part of the problem. Second problem was Trump wasn't just disfavored by the liberal side, by the MSNBC side of the equation. They see him as an unmitigated danger to democracy. The Washington Post wrote about this, and he got nothing. He didn't even get a handful of endorsements. So the press took on this idea that we can't just treat him like any other candidate. We have to point out how dangerous he is and warn people. And so they did, and the number of editorials and writing against him and the tenor of those, I've never seen anything like it. The press thought it was doing its job being bravely warning people, don't let us have another Hitler. And instead, in the eyes of many, they came off as just very biased and not to be believed.
So do you think the way the press treated Trump during the election, do you think that will continue, or do you see, you know, like you said, more scrutiny, but enough scrutiny to make him accountable for all of his actions?
Boy, I am so rooting for the latter. I don't want to see the press normalize him to make him look what he's doing it's okay, it's whatever the other president did. It really didn't. We never had a white supremacist as the main advisor in the White House to the president. We've never had a cabinet filled with billionaires as Trump seems to be headed. What does that mean for the people who voted for him? What does it really mean that he claims he saved jobs and Carrier? It's turning out that may not be exactly what it looks like. The press needs to drop, I think, the usual rules about courtesy and deference to the president, and they need to hold him accountable for everything. I hope they will do that.
Now, back in 1972, when Woodward and Bernstein were on Hot Pursuit with Richard Nixon, do you think any press outlet today has the resources to really follow through on anything that's going on in Washington?
You know, the Washington Post does, the New York Times, LA Times does, CNN does, MSNBC does, Fox does. There's a handful of them right there.
Okay. So this is a story that's going to be continued because Donald Trump's tweets is definitely going to continue. And Rosemary, as the transition takes place and the new administration comes into being, would you come on from time to time to talk about, share your thoughts about the press and how it's handling Donald Trump?
Sure. And anytime you call, Cynthia, you know I return the phone call.
Thanks so much. You've been listening to Rosemary Armeo. And Rosemary, what college do you teach?
I teach at SUNY Albany, and I'm the director of the journalism program now.
Okay. And you've been listening to Focus on Albany. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany and share your thoughts. Rosemary, thank you for taking the time to be on this show, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you, Cynthia. Bye-bye. I am so sorry. She called at exactly when you came to the door. So do you have